Morning again. Don't you love baptisms? Such an encouragement. So, blessing for, it's meant by Christ to be a blessing for his church. And here we are again in the Word of God, desiring to hear from him, desiring to have a clear understanding of his word to us. And so I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to dive back into our series on this short letter, the letter of Colossians by the Apostle Paul. And to get you warmed up to what he's saying to us this morning, what the Holy Spirit is actually saying through him to us, I want to ask you a few questions. First of all, how is your spiritual health? If you had to rate your spiritual health on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what would you rate your spiritual health at? Is your affection for Christ something that's growing in your life? How about your affection for Christ's people? Are you growing in more deeper relationships, loving relationships with the people in this room? Does your church, do the relationships within the church bring you encouragement? Do you look forward to being together with other believers so that your hearts would be filled with encouragement, love, and joy? So how is your spiritual health? What would you rate yourself? You may or may not experience what I've just described here or asked you to consider at Sun Valley Church, whether or not you're encouraged, whether or not you're joyful and fulfilled. But we hope and pray that that's the case. That's what we want to see in your life. That's what we want you to experience. Those who are encouraged and joyful are so because of certain things. Very specific things. Those who aren't encouraged and joyful are not so because of some very similar specific things. So if you want to be encouraged, if you want to be a joyful Christian, if you want to be growing Christian, seeing a higher score if you're into scoring a spiritual life and health, today I want you to be attentive. I want you to take notes maybe even, because that is a good way to remember exactly what it is that the Holy Spirit might be teaching you today. It is through the lips and fingertips that thoughts become clear. So take notes. I'm going to ask you to follow along as I begin in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, or 28. Let's start in 28, and I'm going to read through verse 3 of Colossians chapter 2. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, him we proclaim, that is Jesus Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of fullness or full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And so here Paul shares his heart. It's in these amazing verses that the Holy Spirit reveals profound truths that I think are life-changing, which is why I want you to pay particular attention this morning. This morning, to give you my goal, it is to show you the connection between doctrine and joy, between knowing God and being encouraged, between growing in your understanding of biblical truth and your spiritual maturity. So if you lack either of these things, that is, joy or an understanding of doctrine, today's sermon could be a marker in your life going forward. Do you lack sufficient joy? Do you lack sufficient knowledge of God? and his word, today's sermon might be just for you. So let's look here. Let's dissect this passage. I'm going to focus on verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 by beginning with the first point, a pastor's heart. Here we see the Apostle Paul's heart in pastoring. Paul was, of course, the consummate pastor. Being in such close communion with God, he knew the heart of God for his people. He knew what God wanted to communicate to his people. He knew that God desired these things for those to whom he was ministering, to grow in faith and to apply what they were learning to daily life. So the book of Colossians is a classic letter of Paul's where he lays out his desires for his readers. Think back with me to chapter 1, maybe even turn back with me to chapter 1, verse 9, when he starts by telling them that he prays for them. He prayed that these Colossians would be filled with a knowledge of God and his will, that they would grow in wisdom, which is the ability to apply that knowledge to daily living. That's what he was praying for. Then in verse 10, he mentioned that this knowledge of God, when applied, would be resulting in living a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living this way would please Jesus. Living this way would bear much fruit. Living this way would result in our patience and joy. Then in verse 24, skipping forward a few verses, Paul began to lay out his philosophy of ministry. Why he did what he did. And this is his philosophy in a nutshell, to make the word of God fully known. Paul wants us to know God's word intellectually, grasp it, know the doctrines of the faith. And in God's word, we see the eternal plan of God as revealed. This is what Paul's talking about. And that plan included the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. In him, our salvation rests, that is, in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Paul would speak only of Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's philosophy of ministry. Then, beginning in verse 29, Paul used a word that we dissected a couple of weeks ago, and that word was struggling. You remember that? In verse 29, Paul says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy." That word struggling in the original language is agonizomai, which you remember is where we get our English word agonize. Struggle, pursue, strive. Paul was agonizing for the people to whom he was writing. He loved them. He prayed for them. He wrote letters to them. Why did Paul struggle and agonize for the Colossian believers? Verse 2 of chapter 2 tells us. Let me read it. "That I struggle so that their hearts may be encouraged, being united or knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." That's why he was agonizing. That's why he was struggling. It's so that they would grasp this unbelievably important truth. The word there at the beginning of verse 2, that, if you have your pen, and I hope you'll bring them Sunday to Sunday, it's actually so that. It's the Greek word henna, which means for the purpose of. So here, I'm struggling for all those in Laodicea and for you so that, or in order that, your hearts may be encouraged and so forth. It's an important word. This helps us understand why Paul is struggling. And so this leads us to my second point, a pastor's objective. We see the pastor's heart, which is to struggle or to agonize for the spiritual growth of his people, and now the pastor's objective. What does he want to see in us? How will we know if this is actually happening to us? who are being pastored by Paul. How do you know, Sun Valley Church, that you are growing in the direction that God wants you to? How could we be assured as elders and pastors in this church that you are following Christ as we hope you will? Well, this verse tells us, this verse tells you exactly what Paul's looking for, what the Holy Spirit's looking for in your life. So, speaking of the second point, a pastor's objective, a pastor will lovingly agonize over the people that God has given him to shepherd by having specific objectives in their life for the spiritual growth and well-being of their people. He will desire, that is, the pastor will desire and work for the following, agonize for the following. First, a growing knowledge of the doctrines of Christ. A growing knowledge of the doctrines of Christ. And so I want you to pay particular attention here for a second, because I'm going to give you the pattern of my sermon so that you won't get lost. The growing knowledge of the doctrines of Christ is the last thing that Paul lists in verse 2. He says, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. A growing knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. A growing knowledge of Christ. And the reason I put that first when it comes last, actually, in the text, is for specific reasons, and you'll discover these in a moment with me. So what are the essential doctrines that we must seek to know? Well, they're the doctrines of Jesus Christ. This is what he says. And the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. I'm struggling for you so that you'll understand the doctrines of Christ. So other doctrines are important also, but they all boil down to the doctrines of Jesus Christ, the teachings concerning Christ. We must grow, friends, in our knowledge of God. If we want to reach spiritual maturity, which is Paul's goal for us, which is our goal for you, we must grow in our understanding of the doctrines concerning Christ. If we believe Jesus who the Bible claims he is, it will have a massive impact on our daily lives. His words and commandments, that is Jesus' words and commandments, would be followed without hesitation if we truly believed what the Bible said about who he is. If we believe that Jesus has actually accomplished our redemption and pardon of sin, it should have profound influences on our daily priorities. If he did in fact purchase us with the price of his own blood, what does that mean? We believe that, right? Doctrinally, at least intellectually, we believe these things because we've read them in Scripture. But if they are in fact true, what does it mean? That he owns us. That he purchased us. Well, if he owns us, we don't have a say in the matters of our own priorities. Right? If he owns you, it's not exactly like, but it's similar to your children. When they come into your family, in your home, you set their priorities. If your children set priorities, you're going to have a heyday when they're teenagers. So the pastor's first objective is to faithfully preach and teach the Scriptures so that the church will know God. That's the objective, the first objective. And God, of course, is revealed in the Scriptures. So we go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that you'll know Jesus. The next objective of the pastor is listed here right before the last phrase I mentioned, a growing ability to apply the doctrines of Christ. You see that there? He says, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding. That word understanding is a critical word. You might want to circle that or highlight it in some way. As a pastor, Paul desired those to whom he ministered not only to have an intellectual head knowledge of doctrine, of God, but he also desired that they reach the benefits of that head knowledge, which is the ability to apply them to life. What good is doctrine if you never apply it to life? What good is head knowledge without the application of that knowledge? It doesn't work in any particular area of life. This is what the riches of full assurance of understanding means. Paul wants us to be able to learn knowledge intellectually, but then apply that knowledge to our daily living. That's what he's after. Let me unpack this a little bit more for you. First of all, I must point this out, that head knowledge is of little value if it's never applied. You know that intellectually, but let me try to convince you of that practically. By the way, this is a constant concern of the elders here at Sun Valley Church, as it was a constant concern of the Apostle Paul. We are committed to getting biblical information into your heads at Sun Valley Church. This is our primary objective. You come, I preach. You come, the elders teach. This is what we're after, head knowledge. But if it never moves 18 inches from head to heart, we have failed miserably. Paul knew that without the assured certainty of the true identity of Jesus Christ, which is why he spent time arguing for his true identity just a few verses earlier, all other Christian blessings are meaningless. Friends, unless you can actually embrace the identity, the true identity of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what else you think is true. How can we look forward to heaven if we are uncertain whether or not the work of Jesus secures that future for us? You have no certainty of heaven without a certainty of knowing the identity of Christ. How can we truly love one another, to give you another example, like Jesus loved us, if we are uncertain that he loves us? Are you sure that Jesus loves you particularly? We know he loved Abraham, David, Paul, John, the apostle. But you? Puny you? God loves you. Friends, you must understand this. If you will ever intend to love the brothers and sisters in Christ, you must be certain that God loves you. So we must know the doctrines of God if we're going to apply them. So we teach and preach the doctrines of God and pray like mad that the Holy Spirit will do a work in your heart so that you'll apply those understandings, those intellectual beliefs, into daily practice. The word that Paul used for understanding here in verse 2 is important. It refers to applying biblical principles to everyday life. That's what the word understanding means. It's very similar to the word wisdom in Scripture. If you truly understand biblical doctrine, there will be evidence of it in your daily life. If you truly understand biblical doctrine, not just have it in your brain, not just be able to win a trivia game, but you understand it to the point of application. If you don't fully grasp biblical doctrine, it will have little effect on how you live. You can repeat all the doctrines of Scripture, catechized to the T, but not live a God-honoring life, a life that is worthy of Jesus Christ. So don't talk to me about how much you love Jesus if you're unwilling to love, accept, welcome, minister to, and with the person sitting across the aisle from you this morning. That doesn't work. You cannot separate those two things. If you do, if you try to, it means this information has never moved to your heart. You don't embrace it, in other words. The ability to apply biblical truth, listen, is unique to biblical Christians. The ability to apply biblical truth is unique to biblical Christians, true, authentic believers, in other words. If you don't truly know Jesus, you won't be able to understand or apply biblical knowledge. Let me give you some scriptural support for what I just said. Paul's letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. The natural person, that's the person without Christ, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. No Christ, no understanding. Next, Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh, that is, without Christ, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So let's get back to Paul's second objective with me, to see believers apply their knowledge of God to daily living. Let me give you an example of this so that you can tune in, grasp what I'm saying. It's the biblical principle of the blessing of obedience. Have you heard that? The blessing of obedience is a biblical principle. You obey, God blesses. He said this all the way back in Deuteronomy to the people of Israel. You obey, I'll bless you. You disobey, I won't. It's the blessing of obedience, and it carries through to even today. If you obey, guess what? God blesses you. So if you have struggled with the assurance of your faith, you might want to make a concerted effort to live in 100% obedience to the scripture you understand, and then see how your assurance fares. Paul is teaching that knowing the truth and aligning your life with the truth will in fact produce assurance and understanding. By God's design, you will only begin to be assured of your relationship with Him when you start applying biblical truth to your daily life. This will flood your soul with an unshakable assurance of God's love for you. You lack assurance of your faith? Try obedience. Full obedience. Not just your favorite ones. Full obedience. Assurance, friends, is rarely the result of lack of knowledge, but primarily the result of failing to apply that knowledge to life. Sun Valley Church, this is your pastor speaking. You are a reasonably well-informed group of Christians. I'm thankful for that. You know the scriptures fairly well. The question is whether or not you are obeying what you know. That's always the question in the pastor's heart. That's the question on Paul's heart. That's why he's addressing it. Are you applying the doctrine that is in your brain on a daily basis? Are you, in fact, forgiving like God forgave you? Or are you holding grudges? Are you serving others as though you were serving Jesus? Are you giving sacrificially as Jesus gave of himself? Are you praying as we've been commanded to by Jesus himself? Are you making much of Jesus every day, everywhere, as the great commission of Jesus commands us to do? The next objective is this: a growing love for believers. You see, we're working backwards. A knowledge of God, an application of that knowledge. Then next, this one: a growing love for believers. He says there in the second phrase of verse 2, being knit together in love. Being knit together in love. This has the idea of a growing affection for one another and being united in purpose. Being knit together, picture knitting something together, that is knitting two people together in purpose with love. So it's no surprise that love between believers was a common concern to all the apostles, right? Peter mentions this kind of thing in his epistles. John, the Apostle John, writes of it extensively in his gospel and his epistles. All the apostles heard Jesus say in the upper room that mutual love will be the defining trait of every follower of Jesus. Right? This is what he said. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So it is the defining character trait of everyone who truly follows Christ. The Apostle Paul, of course, wasn't in the upper room to hear that, but he heard that same instruction that Jesus gave the 11 who were in the upper room. He heard it personally from Jesus by way of special revelation. Let me share with you what he says to the Ephesian church concerning this very thing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are to build each other up in love. Not programs. Love. The display of a loving Christian unity was a constant concern of the Apostle Paul. Every single epistle he wrote, he mentioned it. Corinthians, Philippians, Ephesians, and here in Colossians. Let me take you forward to Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Paul says, "Put on," as he continues this theme through the book, "put on then as God's chosen ones," that's us who believe, "holy and beloved people," put this on, "compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if you have a complaint, forgiving each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you must forgive." This is his concern. Are you applying the doctrines of God to your daily living? This is what Paul is teaching us here, starting in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Colossians. This particular verse is jam-packed, and friends, I can't say it strong enough. You must understand this. As a Christian, you must understand this. When believers share a common life of love together, when we share a common life of love together, it always results in spiritual maturity. That's why we must love one another. This is what Paul is saying in this verse that can be read forwards or backwards. This is the progression of this verse, which leads us to the first objective that he lists in verse 2, a growing sense of encouragement of heart. You want to be encouraged? You want to be joyful? You want a spiritual life that rates higher than a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10? Here we go. Encouraged. You've heard this word before if you've been here for any length of time. The Greek word is parakaleo, paraclete. It's referenced, first of all, in John 14, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, that one who would come from heaven to earth after he went back to heaven. The Holy Spirit would come and paraclete, encourage the believers, build up, help. He's called the helper, remember? Help the believers. Here Paul is using it of Christians. He's saying in verse 2 that their hearts may be encouraged, paraclete. It's the idea of comforting, strengthening, coming alongside, building up one's courage, encourage. So Paul desired that the Colossian church would build up each other's courage so that it would be filled with joy and determination to follow Christ together. We are on this journey together, Christian friends. The great F.F. Bruce said this. He explained this in his commentary, and he said this is the crux of what Paul is saying. Follow me here. I think it's on the overhead. The revelation of God cannot be properly known apart from the cultivation of brotherly love within the Christian community. That's what Paul is saying. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what F.F. Bruce said. What this means is that unless we intentionally and actively pursue deepening Christian relationships that encourage, challenge, confront, and motivate, we will never grasp the depth of Christ's person and work for us. You cannot be a Christian on an island. You must be with the saints in love. So, you help me grow in grace, I help you grow in grace. We are all called to help each other grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's primary concern is this: you must know Christ. You must be spiritually mature in him. And if you believe and apply what the Bible teaches about him, you will one day become a mature Christian. And when you are mature in Christ, you will encourage all those around you, being knit together with them in Christian love. It works both ways. The sentence in the original language is designed in such a way that you can read it backwards or forwards, and it ends up in the same spot. Spiritual maturity. Start with loving the saints, or start with the knowledge of God. If you work both directions, you'll end up spiritually mature. You take your pick. Start loving the saints or start studying the word. We'll both end up at spiritual maturity. Both result in being mature in Christ, which he said is the goal of his ministry back in verse 28 and 29 of chapter 1. This is an extraordinary passage. Paul makes the amazing claim that the knowledge and understanding of Jesus will result in ever-deepening love for others, and our ever-deepening love for others will result in our ever-deepening knowledge of Jesus. We can't miss. Love each other. Study the word. I don't care. We're going to all end up mature in Christ. So, let me apply this here before I quit. We cannot afford to exclude any believer from our circle of Christian friends. We cannot afford to exclude any believer from our personal circle of Christian friends. We must cross generational barriers. We must cross cultural barriers. We must cross personal barriers. Things like shyness. Oh, I don't talk to people because I'm shy. Not acceptable. You are to share in the life of the body. It's not okay to stand in the lobby pretending you're thinking about something else as people walk by. Or standing with your back to the crowd looking at the bookshelf and not really looking at the bookshelf. It's not okay. We must cross these generational, cultural, and personal barriers so that, here's the point, we will be knit together in love, which will lead to a clear understanding of how to apply the deep doctrines of Jesus Christ we are learning week in and week out at Sun Valley Church. We cannot pursue relationship with Christ in isolation from his people. Friends, don't get in your favorite four and exclude the rest of the body. That's not okay. We cannot pursue a relationship with Christ in isolation from his people. The deepest knowledge of Christ and the riches of divine blessing and understanding will only be experienced by those who embrace Jesus and his church. As your pastor who shares Paul's objectives for you, please open your hearts to all of Christ's people here at Sun Valley and around the world for that matter. Please pursue unity and mutual love. Then together we will be built up in our knowledge of God and be presented to Christ one day as mature saints. Let's pray. Lord, what a challenge from the Apostle Paul's pen. What a motivation to pursue you more deeply, to pursue one another more deeply. Holy Spirit, I would ask that these wonderful truths that you gave us through Paul would be at the forefront of our thinking today and the rest of our lives. Help this to be one of those moments in each of our lives where we commit ourselves to knowing more of God and applying that knowledge to our daily life. Please don't allow us to be a church full of people who have just head knowledge with no heart knowledge. Help us to be a people who apply our head knowledge to our lives so that we actually love one another and are a witness of Christ's love to those in this world who need him. Father, you've blessed us today in so many ways with our singing, our prayers, our Bible reading, our baptisms, and now this word from your Holy Spirit to our hearts. Bless us now further as we continue to fellowship with one another throughout the rest of this day. I pray this in the name of our Savior who makes all of this possible. Amen.